You got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy. We'll be going to three verses of scripture this morning as the Lord spoke this to me. 1 Timothy chapter 2. The Lord told me in November of 07 to believe in 08 to believe for eight things and to also take Covenant Church, the local outreach of Jesse the Plants Ministries, into the same belief. That doesn't mean we can't preach other stuff, because we will. That's not the issue. So each month, how many of you get my magazine or you get my partner letter? Then you know what I'm talking about. Each month, I've been writing a partner letter concerning one of the eight things. I would not destroy those letters if I were you. I would go over them and over them and over them, because they're tools to help you. When I sit there, I don't just write them off the top of my head. God gives me these things and I place them on paper and send them out to our partners all over the world. And one of the great things that the Lord said that this month that we were writing on is that all your loved ones would be saved. Now, you know, when all your loved ones saved, prosperity flow in your house. So there's a lot of different things. I want to deal with that this morning. And the title of this message is God's Greatest Promise to His Children. You can write that down as a title. God's Greatest Promise to His Children. Now, there's over 7,000 promises in the Bible, but this is the greatest one, because I don't care how rich you get or whatever, if you don't have anybody to share it with, it's really not worth much of nothing. If you don't have good family, you know what I'm saying? What's the use of being rich? What are you going to do after you bought the house, the cars, the clothes, the shoes, the jewelry, I don't know, whatever you think rich is. You have no one to share it with. You have no one to go out and eat dinner with. You have no one to talk about memories, past, or utterances for future. So it's wonderful that the family should be saved. And God created us because He wanted some kids. He wanted a family. Now in 1 Timothy chapter 2, we have to first find scripture that says that we can have this. Well, is it the will of God for all your family to be saved? Because some of y'all are saying, oh, you don't know all my family. Some of my family went to heaven, there'd be another revolution. But look what the Lord said in 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm in 2 Timothy. Let me go there. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. The word men there means the human race. And to come unto the knowledge of the truth. I got to read it again. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men, all people to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. If you reading that verse there, underline the word all. Who desires all men or people to be saved. Now write this down as a point. All means every one of your loved ones, not some of them. All means every one of your loved ones. That is God's will, that everyone that is part of your family should come to the knowledge of the truth. Not some, not a percentage, even though it might be a high percentage of your family, but all of them. So not only can you share great things in this life, but in the life to come for eternity. So all means every one of your loved ones. Now, write this down. If it's God's desire, it must become your desire. Now, let me say it again. If it's God's desire that all your family come to the knowledge of God, then it must become your desire. That's something you need to work on. Because I'll be honest with you, there's some people in my family, if they didn't come to heaven, it'd be okay. I don't mean that to be rude, but I mean, I'm just talking flesh here. I'm talking about, you know, because everybody got somebody in your family. You know. You know, when they show up at one of them family things, a fight gonna start. Something gonna happen. They're always messing up something. They're always wanting something. They're always trying to use somebody. Look at everybody. Boy, he been to my house, hasn't he? No, I've been to my house. So I'm going to be honest, I didn't have the desire for all my family to be saved. Don't look at me weird. You're the same way. Kathy, one time, I think she loved her aunt, but she was a little embarrassed of her when I first met Kathy. And I'll keep her name private. But she said, I got a certain aunt. What's her name? Thank you, she said. She said, I have a certain aunt that's coming. Now, I didn't know who she was. I didn't know Kathy's family. And Kathy's family has the most phenomenal nicknames you ever see, ever heard in your life. She introduced me to her cousin. She said, this is my cousin, Chong. Chong? Chong. Or this is Tili and Tulu. Good Lord. I said, hello, Tili. Where's Tulu? I said, Tili a girl? No, Tili is a boy. Tulu's a girl. All kinds of stuff. I didn't know. I got all mixed up. Well, this aunt came. And when she came, her slip was hanging down about that far. And she saw me. She said, come here, Shaq. I said, no. She called me Shaq. Can I call you Shaq? Yeah, you call me Shaq. Come here. So you are Kathy's boyfriend. Lord Jesus. That's all I'm going to say about that. And Kathy was a little embarrassed because she's a young girl. Kathy was, 16 years old, something like that. And it was a unique family and still is. That's all I'm going to say about that. Praise God. Let me get back to the point before I get myself in trouble. If it's God's desire, it must become your desire. All means every one of your loved ones. Yeah, but you don't understand how bad they can become. How do I get my loved one saved if it's the greatest promise to his children? Now, to you, it's a promise. But to God, it's a prophecy. Amen. All the promises of God are yea and amen. So prophecy is history wrote in advance. When God speaks something, he's not just promising you something. He's prophesying to you. By his stripes, you are healed. You say, I am sick. He's not dealing with your am sick. He's dealing with your word healed. If you can ever focus on your answer as much as you focus on your problem, your answer will consume your problem. Amen. Do you see what I'm saying? So when God says, all your family, that all men that he desires, all men to be saved, all your family to be saved, that is a prophecy which is even greater and more powerful than a promise. Do you see that? Because a promise, you can put a C-O-M in front of it and it becomes compromise. But if you put a C-O-M in front of prophecy, it don't mean nothing. Prophecy will come to pass. You understand what I'm saying? So all means every one of your loved ones. And if it's God's desire, it must become your desire. What do you say? Well, how do I get my family to be saved? They won't even listen to me talk about Jesus. Write this down. Underground prayer produce above ground results. You got to go underground. Because some of your family, if you look at it naturally, ain't worth saving. They cuss all the time. And you talk about God, they just cuss you out. They don't care. So you got to go underground with your prayer. So underground prayers, I love that, produces above ground results. See, so you got to go underground. Now you and God's got to go underground because if two of you is agree. To write it down, underground prayer produces above ground results. Now what is prayer? Why do you and God need to pray for that person? Prayer is God and you working together. Write that down. Prayer is God and you working together. It is something you can do without them even knowing it. See, my mother and Kathy went underground to get me saved. Because every time they talked to me about God, I didn't want to talk about God. I said, been there, done that. To me, God was not a person. God was a church. God was a denomination. God was an institution. But God is really a person. Oprah Winfrey thinks God's a feeling. No, God's a person. Oprah just trying to feel it. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, it'd be critical. That's words from her mouth, not mine. So Kathy and my mom went underground to pray for me. And under that underground prayer, they produced above ground results. It was God, Kathy, and Mama working together for me. Because I was too stupid to understand what they were doing. They were actually saving my life. Amen. But you got to know that it's God's desire to do this. And that it's his greatest promise. People say, I want to get rich. But if you don't have anybody to spend it with, then it's nothing. I want to be healed. Yeah, but if everybody around you is sick, you can't do nothing. You see what I'm saying? So it's God's greatest promise to his children. So let me say it again. Prayer is God and you working together. It is something you can do without them even knowing. Kathy would pray for me when I was asleep. But sometimes I woke up and I'd say, get your hand off me, woman. Keep your prayers to yourself. I ain't into this stuff. So she had to go further underground. And then she knows I love knowledge. And I was trained in biblical things. Because I always wanted to know why the priest did what he did. Why the preacher said what he said. Why some people get healed and some don't. I was always a why. Well, why? Why and how? I want to know how it happened and why it happened. And I still have that in me. So she said that in her message the other day. We would be driving. I used to drive. I was a rocket attendant. So we'd drive sometimes 12, 14 hours to get to the next place. And she said, Jesse, she knew nothing about God at all. None, zero. She never read the Bible. But Mama made us read the Bible. Or we had to read it together, which was some of the most boring times of my entire life. Because I was a heathen. But I knew it pleased Mama. Don't ever please Mama, because if Mama ain't pleased, ain't nobody pleased. I mean, even the dog and the cat know that. So, Daddy would say, act like you like it. That's my father. Act like you like it. Because she gets on me, I get on you. You understand? How many times she said, all right, y'all kneel down, we're going to pray. Oh, Lord, God Almighty. I kneel down, never thinking she'd ask me what I'm praying about. And she'd pray, and I'd listen. After a while, I wouldn't listen. I could hear this voice in my, which was her praying. I didn't hear what she said. I wasn't interested. And she said, Jesse, what did you pray? I said, it's private. I didn't pray nothing. That's how private it was. But Mama would not give up. Mama would not give up. She just kept on. And then, of course, when I became a man, she'd get in my face. And, you know, in that generation, you weren't allowed to talk back. Let me say it again. You wasn't allowed to talk back. Because you had to go to the dentist the next day if you did. How many people know what I'm talking about? If your kid said, shut up, Mama, there'd be a funeral the next day. Times are changing, aren't they? So when you understand that it's God's desire that all men be saved, then you say, how many men? How many of my family, let's get a number. How many of my family can be saved? How about the ones that are going to be born into my family? You just think of the ones that are born and the ones that were past born in the past. But God not only deals with the past and the present, he goes to the future. How do you know that? Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 7. And look what God says in Deuteronomy chapter 7. I love this verse. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. The faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a what? A thousand generations. Which means this, if the Duplantis clan keeps producing and God delays his coming for a millennium, I can pray today and I have not the promise, but the prophetic utterance that Meredith's children, yeah, children's children, 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 children will come to the knowledge of Jesus. Even though I may die and go home to be with the Lord, I will meet their children's children. So this is your great, 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 great grandfather. That's how far that prophecy exploded when it came out of the mouth of God. 1,000 generations. Now, when Mama saw 1 Timothy 2 and Deuteronomy 7, it was a win-win scenario. She used to tell me, I don't have to see you saved, but I'm going to see you saved. Because God promised me. Well, what happened was God did more than promised her. He prophesied to her through his word. That's why it's the greatest promise ever given, or prophecy ever given to the children of men, that they would come to the knowledge of Jesus in every area of their life. See, Jesus is not a religion. Jesus is a person. Christianity is a religion. Christ is a person, and Christ is not Jesus' last name. People think Jesus Christ, last name. No, his Christ is what is the what's on him, the anointed one and his anointing. Jesus is his name. If you're Jewish, Yeshua is his name. Whatever. It don't matter how you pronounce it, whatever. It's just his name. So God wants you to spend eternity with everyone that's ever been related to you. So if Jesus tarries and I die and Kathy die, I will get to know, if not here, there, my descendants. Do you see that? That's a powerful thing. That's why God made it one of the 8 things to believe for. Why? Because he wanted you to know these people. He wanted you to have fellowship with these people. You can't kill a Christian. They come back. Everyone you know that died and went to heaven is coming back. Do you understand that? Oh, death, where's our grave? Or death, where's your sting? Your grave? It can't hold them. That's the power. No other religion, quote, quote, religion, promise you that kind of effect. Somebody shout somebody. My Lord, my Lord. So when you see that, 1,000 generations, write this down, you have by the mouth of God, a faithful God, 1,000 generations of your family in one prophetic utterance. Notice what the verse says. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. Well, there are a lot of gods, but are they faithful? The faithful God that keepeth covenant. People say, Brother Jesse, where did you learn how to live by faith? God. Every time I tried to learn it, men, from someone else, I saw weakness. There's some men and women I highly esteem in the faith, but I've seen their faith fail, but I've never seen God's faith fail. You know why? Because he's always kept it. The only way faith doesn't work is if you don't keep it. You've heard me say that over and over. And the Bible, as I said here before, doesn't make any sense. It wasn't designed to make sense. It makes faith. It's a faith factory to take care of your present and your future. So, if you want to change your present, quit telling God what you got. He already know that. He know you're broke, sick, busted, and disgusted. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. He can see it on your face. Tell him what you want. Kathy never comes to me and opens up her closet and shows me what she has. Never. I've never had Kathy, going on 38 years of marriage at the time of this preaching, walk me into her closet and say, look what I have. No, she takes me to another store to tell me what she wants. She's trying to do that yesterday. Would you like to go to Saks Fifth Avenue? I ain't stupid. No. She has never taken me in and let me look at her shoes or whatever she's got. She's never taken me in and said, have you noticed the amount of jewelry I have? If she talks jewelry, she takes me to a jewelry store. And the church world, for some crazy reason, always tell you to tell God what you have. He's not stupid. He knows that.
That's right.
Now, Kathy's into this health stuff. Lord Jesus. I got bottles. I don't even know what they are. Put your feet in this bucket so I can get some black stuff out of you. Some black stuff out of me. Maybe I like the black stuff in me. I didn't know. I look at this little machine with a thing in it. I said, where does this thing come from? Oh, you're going to like this. I said, you buy that? Yeah. How much you pay for that? She's told me, I went, I made the water boil. What? What? You got to be kidding me. But it works, Jesse. Okay. You can't win. You can't win. You just can't win. So sit here. I'm going to have you put your feet in it. All right. How long I got to be here? What, 20 minutes? And all of a sudden you see this thing going. I think, what is that? It's working. It's getting the toxins out of your body. Oh, that's all I'm going to say about that. Glory to God. And I know the doctors are here. Glory to God. Take these pills. What are they? It's for your liver. My liver is fine. How do you know? Well, how do you know it's not? And then, man, my refrigerator is filled with all kinds of pills. Or vitamins. What? I don't know. All kinds of stuff. And she's just into it. I went to eat something today. Don't eat that! It's not your blood type. What? It's not your blood type. I ain't eating it for my blood type. Okay. All right. Wheat is not good for you. It's amazing. I've eaten it for 58 years. It makes you regular. That's all I'm going to say about that. Glory to God. You have, write it down, you have by the mouth of God, a faith for God, 1,000 generations of your family in one prophetic utterance. Now, it's amazing to me that God speaks these things and one crazy, stupid thing a family member would do throws that all out the kitchen, like they say. And you just get depressed over it. Oh, they got caught with drugs. Oh, God. She's pregnant. Oh, God. You done forgot about all this power because of one mess up someone did. Write this down. Don't let someone's actions cause you to forget the covenant God spoke to you concerning your family. Why? Failure is not an option. I had one man get so mad at me one time. We prayed, we believed, and that person died. I said, well, raise them from the dead. That's what Jesus said you could do. But if you notice, most people don't. But that person will be raised from the dead. Do you understand that? That's not the issue. Yeah, but I didn't want him to die. Well, I understand that too. But you don't know what happened in a split second. I've seen people, God, Jesus, I'm believing for my healing. And 10 seconds before they die, you see them go, oh. And the Lord came in there. And death and life's in the power of the tongue. Not in the power of the action, in the power of the tongue. They looked at Jesus and said, I'm going with you. And he said, I'll send you back. But if they ever get a glimpse of Jesus, they ain't coming back. And we shouldn't be mad about that situation. Do you see what I'm saying? You can't. The Bible says foolish and unlearned questions do gender strife. There's some things happening in a person's life that you're not going to know till you get to heaven. I've seen people say one thing and something else totally different happened. But when we get to heaven, we'll have an answer on that. And it wasn't a lack of faith or an abundance of unbelief. There was a discussion going on between that person and God. No matter how much you wanted that person to stay, no matter how much, there's a discussion that goes on between that person and God. Because death and life's in the power of their tongue, not your tongue or the cancer tongue or the diabetes tongue or whatever that they may have died of. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a question and an answer why. things happen the way things happen. We may not understand it now, but we will. That's what's so wonderful about the law. We will know, hear the word know, all things. It's coming, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to have an answer to everything that you never could figure out in life. So let me say it again. Write it down. Don't let someone's actions cause you to forget the covenant God spoke to you concerning your family. Failure is not an option. My Lord, my Lord. Now, God is always saying this to put him in remembrance. You see it all over Scripture. Write this down. God says put him in remembrance of his word. Why? Why would you want to put God in remembrance of his word? Not because he forgot what he said. See, some people think God forgot what he said. No, but so we would remember what he said. You see, the reason why God tells you to put him in remembrance of his word is so you can remember what he said. He hadn't forgot what he said. But a lot of people think, well, God forgot me. It ain't working. Well, you think God forgot what he said. No, no. What he says is still law. But he says, you put me in remembrance so you don't forget. There's been times I've had to go through the scripture and go over all the things I already known. What? I do that. I do a constant. I'm always relearning. People say, oh, I know that. Well, if you know it, how come it's not working? So you got to go back sometimes. You got to go back and re-educate. Well, even doctors do that. They go learn new things, but they're constantly going back and refining and decreeing and declaring. See, so you know some things. So even though if I hear a sermon that I've heard before or something that someone's preaching that I know about, I receive it like I heard it, that I'm hearing it for the very first time. Because you know what? It stirred up that gift that was in me way back when. I went, you know, years ago, man, I mean, if you said anything wrong, they jump you, especially if you use word of faith, jump you concerning your confession. But now if you notice, as you see a lot of word of faith preachers, they're not confessing as good as they used to confess. Now, some of them got into what I call silliness because they were confessing and not possessing. I'm not talking about that. After a while, people begin to say, no, well, that just thrilled me to death. Well, how come you didn't die? If you're so thrilled about it. But years ago, if you said that, they say, I don't accept that. Well, a very famous preacher woman said, put on my gravestone. I don't know what to say. Because she was constantly being corrected. Well, until they got her mouth lined up with what the word of God said, that caused the correction. Then things begin to work. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. See, you hear people say, that just thrilled me to death. Well, you'll never know. But that's totally opposite of the word of God. Bob said, you'll know all things. I know God heals, but, now that's your problem. You need to get your butt out the way. You never know what God's going to do. Oh, God. Yes, you do. Read his book. He does what his book says. See, what you're really wanting to know is wanting to know someone else's business. That's why I never forget one time a person. I said, God, how come you didn't tell me that? He said, the secret things belong to the Lord. Deuteronomy 29:29. I said, why don't you tell me? He said, that's a secret between me and her. That ain't none of your business. Amen. Excuse me, Lord. Backstroke out of here. See, sometimes we just want to know somebody else's business that we don't need to know. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. Oh, glory to God. So when you understand it, let me say it again. God says put him in remembrance of his word, not because he forgot what he said, but so we would remember what he said. Now, people ask me all the time, but Jay, why are you always going after souls? I threw that net last Friday night, and God, a lot of people came forward. Why? Why? Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter. Y'all enjoying this morning? Yeah. Psalms, Proverbs, that'll help you. Proverbs chapter 11. Let me show you why I do this. Not because I'm an evangelist. People say, well, you know, he has the call of an evangelist on it. No. You got that from Bible school. And that's good, but don't misunderstand me. But Proverbs, let me tell you why I do what I do. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is what? Wise. So it's a wise thing to win souls. It was wise that God would make this month, we're believing, for the family to be saved. He who winneth souls is wise. I want to be wise. Because if you're not wise, then you're the other area. You're dumb. And nobody want to be dumb. Nobody want to be ignorant. You see what I'm saying? So he who winneth souls is wise. Now, how come are y'all, some of your family not being saved? Maybe it's because they're watching how you live. And it's not very attractive. Uh-oh. Boy, got quiet on that one, didn't it? Write this down. Salvation must be seen as an attractive power. Write it down. Salvation must be seen as an attractive power. You must produce a stream of holy and helpful influence. Salvation must be seen as an attractive power. They got to say, man, I got to become like that guy. I got to become like that woman. You must produce a stream of holy and helpful influence. I influence people. Kenneth Copeland asked me years ago, he said, boy, Jed, you get people saved at a gas station. I ain't never seen nothing like that in my life. We stop a gas at the Philip motorcycle. It's just something about you. I said, oh, it's very easy. I win people to myself. Then I went up to God. Because they don't like Jesse. They ain't gonna like Jesus. I'm made in his image and in his likeness. That's not an arrogant statement. The only Jesus some people may ever see is the Jesus in you. Are you attractive? Are you one of them constant critical screaming, hollering Christians that nothing's ever right? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Maybe your salvation's not attractive. I tell you one thing, I wish we had more room up here. We'll lose weight. Are you like that? They keep it too cold. Well, put on a sweater. It's too hot. Take one off. Not all of it, but take one off. I don't like the catfish at the picnic. Well, bring your own meal. I ain't going to church because I'm tired. So are we. At least you had off yesterday. We had to study. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching. We had to study. Poor Corey had to study and he couldn't even preach. Hey, welcome to the world. The reason why some family people are not getting saved, because your salvation is not attractive. You don't have a holy and a helpful influence. When you're talking about God or someone that knows God, you're criticizing them. Kids are hearing it. Don't shout me down when I preach. You can tell when it hits. Everybody goes. Yeah. The other day I told Kathy, she was telling me something. I said, Kathy, I love you. Shut up. I don't want to hear that no more. Shut up. She goes, what did you say to me? I said, hush. Because shut up is a little too strong. Hush. 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 I said, you're charging the atmosphere with stuff I don't want to. Not that I'm trying to hide, just don't want to think about it today. And I'm not being critical of her. And sometimes I'll say the same thing. She'll go, excuse me. She goes, excuse me. Oh. Hush, Jess. Okay. In other words, our salvation should be attractive. Me and Kathy do argue. We would never argue if she'd listen to me, but what do you want? Hey, I'm the one preaching. It's my sermon. Say it the way I want. Then when she gets upset, she say what she wants. Glory to God, that just works out. Yeah. I know as a married man of all those years that I have to like what she likes. I've learned that. You like this dress? I lie like a dog. No. I say, oh, yes. But inside I go, look like a tent to me. But I don't say nothing. Ain't none of my business. Don't you tell me you don't like this when I'm in the elevator going down to go to a meeting. I'm going to ask you this. Do you like this? Because I really like it. And sometimes I don't like what she likes. I don't. What's wrong with that? She says, I don't like that tie you have with that sport coat. Well, you didn't go buy it. Close your eyes when you walk by me. Because I happen to like the tie. Well, it just looks stupid. Now, I could get very angry at that. and I'm a man of God. And I have to repent right now. Lord Jesus, forgive me. A lying, Lord Jesus. Salvation must be seen as an attractive power. You must produce a stream of holy and helpful influence. That's why some people not getting saved. I remember this. When they were trying to get me saved, boy, my mama got mad at me. Oh, Lord Jesus. She said, now you get saved, you're going to go to this church. I said, why? You don't like it. I said, you talk about that preacher all the time. You know who you talking to, boy? I backed up 3 or 4 steps. Yeah, I do, mama. So you got to get out of the swing, you know what I'm saying? I said, if it's just so great, don't look like you enjoying it. God used to my mother, a boy that didn't know Jesus, to straighten her out. One time in my foolishness in front of Jody, she must have been 5 years old, 6 years old, sitting there and man, I had a lot of pressure on me. I didn't know how to release pressure in those days because preachers told me to take it and endure hardness as a good soldier. And they misinterpreted that verse. I'm sitting there at the breakfast nook there on the table. I'm going, man, I said it out loud. I don't know what to do. And Jody walked by and said, get some of your tapes, Dad. You'll learn. Shut me down. Yeah. Go buy one of my own tapes. I guess I can figure that out. And my atheist brother-in-law said the same thing one time. I said, what are we going to do about that? He said, well, ask the God that you believe in. I guess he ought to know. Amen. So when you come up against this, and let me close with this. When you come up against a family member that's just not doing right, that's really not a thorn, but a bush or a forest. And it don't look like they're ever going to come to the knowledge of Jesus. Something's happening to that individual. They're being spiritually attacked not to hear your spiritual words. You may not realize that there's a war going on for their soul. Write this down. Your job is to do battle with the evil spirit of procrastination. Your job is to do battle with the evil spirit of procrastination, to contend with spiritual blindness and insensibility. Write it down. Your job is to do battle with the evil spirit of procrastination, to contend with spiritual blindness. You're dealing with a blind individual here. And insensibility. That's why they say what they say about God, and it just hurts your feelings because you're sensitive to God and they're not sensitive to God. So you got to deal with spiritual blindness and insensibility and that evil spirit of procrastination. Because there's a war going on for their soul. But he who wins souls is wise. Or if you want to reverse it, he who is wise winneth souls. However you want to look at it. It's all the same. So I realize when I'm dealing with someone in my family or whoever, that I'm dealing with the evil spirit of procrastination. That's why I ask people an altar call to get out of their seat. Because what it does is defeats the spirit of procrastination. It's very hard to get out of a seat and walk in front of anybody, much less a church. Why do you do that? Well, everyone Jesus called, he called publicly. He was attacking that spirit of procrastination. And as they walk out, their blindness goes away. He's attacking spiritual blindness and insensibility. So as they walk, and then when they get up there, it just ministers life to them. In other words, for the first time, faith is felt in the natural, when faith is a spiritual thing. That's why it feels odd. It feels strange. Because you see, God puts it in the natural, so you want to know what it feels like? Feel? That's why it's kind of weird. Because you see, it's a spiritual thing. But Satan is not a faith devil, he's a flesh devil. He only tempts you in the flesh. He don't tempt you in the spirit. He can't. He's spiritually dead. That's why he tempts you with things that only deal with your flesh. Yes. I want you to look at a woman the wrong way, or look at a man the wrong way, wants to kill, steal. It's everything. He never tempts you in the spirit. He never comes up and says, speak in tongues. Go ahead, enjoy yourself. Read your Bible today. Or he says, come on, you got to tithe. Come on, you got to tithe. Have you ever been tempted to tithe? No. You ever had God come, the devil come and say, boy, why don't you just give? Come on. Why don't you give and believe in that 30, 60, and 100-fold? Mm-mm. He makes you walk by a dress. If you wouldn't give that tithe, well, you could have bought that dress. Notice it's always physical. Men don't want to fall in love with other women. Oh, let me shock you. They just want to use their bodies. That's it. Do you understand? Young people, listen to me. I've been young. I know what a young person thinks. I've been 14, 15. I didn't want to fall in love. I wanted to play around. I know that seems weird for a man white-headed, but it's the truth. Why? Because I was a little flesh creature. And it was something forbidden. I didn't understand the responsibility of what sex meant. Just wanted to have sex. What am I doing, Jesus, on this subject? Lord God. But that's for somebody in here. I didn't understand the responsibility of my action. That I could actually produce a human being that could go to hell. Oh, and let me help everybody. I'm going to shock you. It's okay to have sex. Y'all should have shouted that. But it has to be done in the confines God tells you to have sex with. He's the one created. Look at the young people. I got all the attention. Look at the old people. Memories. Look at the old people. Oh, yeah. Memories. How can I have sex? Oh, easy. You love that woman? You want to have sex with that woman? Yeah. You want to have sex with that man? Yeah. Sign the contract. Amen. Just sign the contract. Amen. I'm not talking about a prenuptial agreement. People come up with their own contracts. No. You want to have sex with this woman? Woo, yeah. You want to have sex with that man? Talk to me. Yeah. Sign the contract. Look at each other and say, till death do us part. We'll go together for better, for worse, no matter what happens. I will always keep myself to you and you will keep yourself to me. And then after you do that and you create that covenant, knock yourself out. Just knock yourself out. Look at some of them old people. Yes! Yes! Some of the biggest problems in old folks' homes is old people having sex. And they all lie. I can't remember. You lying, though. Yeah, you can't remember. Yeah, you can't remember. Look at some of the people that are not very old. I wish my husband would remember. Vice versa, whatever. My point is simple. That these are all within the confines. The reason why God told you to sign the contract, so that woman would never feel the pain of adultery. Or that man would ever feel the pain of adultery in any way, shape, or form. Do you see that? That meant you could rely on each other. So really, the sex part's just a benefit. And I can prove that. Because I've seen people that were too old for sex. They didn't know they were. They didn't understand the scripture. They could have been like Abraham at 100 years old. But, you know, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You think, well, you know, it just happens. And doctors, I understand them. Like, well, you know, things just, you know. No, that the scripture don't say that. But we said that so constantly. We said it so much, we have produced faith for it. Do you see what I'm saying? But the reason why God done that, so you would never have to hurt. See, God said, my children, talking about Israel, he used a strong word, went a whoring with other gods. He considered that an act of adultery. It hurt God. And I've never seen a person that loves someone found out some indiscretion, or we call it even worse, betrayal, that it just didn't hurt somebody to the very core of who they are. So God says, I don't want them to ever feel that. So sign the contract. And you will produce descendants. You see what I'm saying? And if they understand morality. So young people, it's not old people trying to stop you from being young. They ain't got anything to do with that. It's trying to protect you because that hurts. And if you think just breaking up with a boy hurts. I never forget when Jody broke up with our first boyfriend. And I closed it. Oh, Lord, you thought the world come to an end. I said, Jody, I promise you in 2 weeks there'll be another one. Oh, no. Oh. So we had to go through it. We went through, Jody, you'll be all right. And sure enough, it worked out. And I was holding Meredith the other day. And little Meredith was just looking at me like that. And I said, hey, Jody, isn't that something, man? Look at this girl. You and Eddie Shore did a wonderful job. Isn't she beautiful, Dad? I said, yes, she is. She's just such a blessing. She just smiles. She's looking like that. Which means I'm hungry. I said, oh, God. What you going to do, Jody, when that first boy comes? What you say, Daddy? When that first boy comes and they break up and she cries, I'll kill him, Daddy. Oh, whoa, Jody, you forgot. It's amazing how the shoe gets on that foot real quick. I said, I hope that never happens. You know, it's really amazing. And I can say this because don't tell them. They're not here this morning. Christine and Ricky, they've been going out since they're babies. I think they started dating or whatever, liking each other. What, in fifth grade, fourth grade, fifth, something. I mean, they've just been going out forever. When you saw Christine, you saw Ricky. I mean, just it's amazing. So they've had a love.
They were their first boyfriend and girlfriend.
First boyfriend and first girl. So they've never had that feeling. That's a wonderful thing. Now, I've seen Ricky come to work sad because Christine got on his case, but it wasn't that kind of stuff. You see what I'm saying? So that's a wonderful, because that hurt. How many of y'all have had a broken heart? Come on, be honest. That ain't fun, is it? Now, you remember, but magnify that a billion trillion times when you go against God. Because not only can God love with greater love than anyone's called agape, but God can hurt more than anyone. Did you hear what I'm saying? He can love beyond what we can comprehend, but he can hurt more than anyone. That's his capacity. So let's don't hurt him today. Let's believe God for our loved ones. How many of y'all gonna believe? Amen. Stand to your feet and give the Lord a standing ovation. Come on. Oh, so I say this. That's why I try to. You can't be perfect in a moment. But listen to me. You can be holy in a moment. I remember Mama would get mad when me and my brothers would argue. Never could figure that out. Why, Ma? But I think sometimes as married couples, when me and Kathy argue, I think we hurt the Lord. Because, you know, we both of us is family. We always wanted to make a choose. He's not going to choose who's better and who's worse. I think you... Parents would tell you, I love my children all the same. Yeah, but you seem like you show more love to him. Well, maybe because that person lets the mama do that or the father. Whatever, you know. It's amazing. All children may come from the same parents, but they're all totally unique little individuals. Yeah. I don't want to hurt the Lord, so I live my life clean. But I'll be honest with you, I have hurt the Lord. And not just in sin. But
omission or commission, not being sensitive enough. That's one of my weaknesses. I'm running nine into nothing all the time. I'm busy. And sometimes if I would just hold Kathy's hand. David and Betty hold hands. I know. But that's all right. I understand that you're ignorant. No, it's not that, Kathy. Just little things. See, if I hold her hand, I got to walk the same pace she's walking. And I'm trying to get somewhere. Come on, woman. But I was wrong. Just little things. She hurt my feelings one time when Jody was little. Isn't that amazing? I hadn't forgot it. Jody's 36 years old. I was traveling home. Always traveling. And I bought Jody a baby dress. And we're outside in private. I got pretty good taste when it comes to baby clothes. And I brought it. And Kathy's mother caught it just like that. But Kathy was, hey, I said, listen, I brought something for Jody. She said, yeah, that's not. And she put it, she said, let me show you what mama got. It wasn't competition. I went, spent a lot of time taking that. And Kathy's mother said, oh, how could you? Man, just you guys, how did you know to buy that? That's a beautiful dress. Kathy went right over it. Until about 6 hours later. You know, when everything was going on, she went, I put that thing aside. Oh, just, I didn't mean it. And she didn't. She didn't mean that it wasn't pretty or wasn't ready. Wasn't the issue. It's just a little thing. But you multiply some of those things into the trillions. And that's what God feels. So you know what? We need to give him a little time a day. So, and can I be a little disciplinary this morning? He knows when you're late at his house. And that you're willing to be not late at your job because you're afraid you'd get fired if you did. I know that's something small, and I know sometimes things like that happen. I'm not saying it's 100%, but he notices it. And so do I. And I'll tell you why. Because I've been late to his place too. I repent. I realize that something else was just a little bit more important. And it should have never been. So with your head bowed, please. If you'd like to know God instead of just knowing about him, that's called getting saved for the first time. Would you give us the honor of going to the throne of God and say, Lord, here's a man, here's a woman. They know a lot about you, but they don't know you, Lord, and they need to get saved. They need to know you. I used to stop there. That's how I was trained. Till I heard the arresting voice of the Lord said, always take it further. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling with your Christianity. I know. Temptations are getting the best of you and you hate it. And you want that to stop. You want to rededicate your lives. And rededication is a wonderful word, but I like something better called selling out. Why are temptations so strong? It shows you the distance where you are compared to where God is. But if you draw close to God today, those temptations that you're struggling with will die. They will abort themselves. They cannot stand in the presence of a holy God. So if you'd like to know God instead of knowing about him, it's called getting saved for the first time. Or, and be honest with yourself, you're not where you should be with God. You're struggling with your Christianity because of temptations and you want that to quit. Would you lift your hand up? Hold your hand up when I see it and acknowledge it. You may put your hand down. Yes, I see your hands. Thank you. I see those hands. Yes, I do. Could I see others? Way in the back. I see your hand. Thank you. Are there others? Don't worry about the time. This is the most important part of this service right now. Could I see one more hand? Don't miss my Jesus. Don't miss my Jesus. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see your hand. I want everyone to look at me. I wouldn't lie to you. I'm going to prove my sermon right now. I'm going to ask you to do something hard. Yeah. What? I'm going to come against the evil spirit of procrastination. Right now.
I'm going to ask you if you lifted your hand, not some of you, but all of you, whether it's in the back or whether it's in the front. I'm going to ask you to get your Bible or your purse or whatever you brought with you. If you're children, that's be fine. Whatever. I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat and come stand here in the front of everybody. Yeah. In the front of everybody. Yeah. See, that shuts down procrastination. That shuts down insensibility. That shuts down spiritual blindness. Get out of your seat right now. Come. Come. Give them a hand clap as they come. Come on. Come on. Come on, sweetheart. Thank you. Come on, ma'am. Come on. All the way in the back. Come on. Come on. It's worth it. Come on. Give them a good hand clap. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. What a blessing. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Oh, thank you. Come on, sweetheart. Yeah, that's fine. That's just such. Come on, y'all. Come on, Joe. Thank you for coming. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Ain't nothing wrong with that. That's good. That's a blessing. It's a wonderful thing. It really is. See, that's what you feel inside. I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer with me. I'm going to ask you to repeat it after me. I'm going to ask you that are watching by television to do the same. I can never forget you. Thank you, Billy Graham, for bringing me to the knowledge of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Billy Graham's partners, who were willing to sacrifice money they needed so Billy could preach to me. Thank you, sir. Everyone, pray this prayer with us. Repeat it after me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life and forgive me of all my sins. I confess my sin before you this day. I deny Satan and all his works. I confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me and for bringing me back so I'll draw so close no temptation will destroy me. I give my life to you, Lord, by the power of your name. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus rose from the dead. I am saved. Write my name in the Lamb's book of life. And today is my God day with the Lord Jesus. I pray this prayer to the Father in the name of Jesus. Amen. Stand right there for just a minute. Give them a hand clap. You made it, and you watching my television made it. Wow! What a blessing.